Hello, saints. So nice to be back with you again. Let's go to the Lord. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I praise you for your word that shows us how to speak, talk, walk, and we praise you for that, Father. And Lord, we ask that you anoint us today to give out the word today about how we should talk and the words that are a spiritual force to be reckoned with. And I thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for helping us out today. Well, that's what I want to talk about today, folks. Words, they are a spiritual force. You know, God's word that is conceived in your heart and then formed by the tongue and spoken out of your own mouth becomes a spiritual force, releasing the ability of God within you. And that's why Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things in him that strengthens me. His heart or his spirit had received God's word. It wasn't Paul's ability that made him say that, but the ability of God formed in him by the word and out of the abundance of his heart, his mouth spoke. Those that say they can and those that say they can't, they're both right. Words are the most powerful thing in the universe. We read in John chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we have to learn to use our words more effectively, because the words you speak will either put you over or they're going to hold you in bondage. And today, there's a lot of Christian people that have been taken captive by their own words. By the prayers of their own mouth, they have been set in a position where they can't receive from God. Listen, we've all done it at one time or another. We have used our tongue to form the very words that defeated us. We have even prayed contrary to the word of God. We have prayed defeat and received it. We have prayed the problem, and it became greater. Even prayer produces after its kind. The word says in Mark 11:24, therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. So Jesus has set forth a great truth about spiritual law. God's word is spiritual law. It functions just as sure as any natural law. You know, we've learned how to work with natural law in dealing with when you deal with the natural law that governs electricity. Take, for instance, we have learned that if we work with that law by obeying and enforcing it, that electrical force will work for us. But if we continually violate that law that governs or controls electricity, you're going to get in trouble. And as long as we enforce the law that controls electrical forces, it'll produce energy to give you light, to heat your home, cook your meals, wash your clothes. And yet it's not going to produce any harm to us, because it is very useful and safe when we understand and apply the law by which it is controlled. However, this same force of electricity can burn, kill, and destroy if the law that governs electricity is not enforced. And the same thing applies to the words that come forth out of your mouth. They will work for you to put you over in life if, that's a big word, if you control those words and bring them into obedience to the spiritual law, which is the word of God. Words governed by spiritual law become spiritual forces working for you. Idle words work against you. The spirit world is controlled by the word of God. The natural world is to be controlled by man speaking God's words. The spoken word of God is creative power. Therefore, even if the words of our prayers should be chosen carefully, we ought to do that and spoken accurately by the word of God. You know, we've often prayed, Lord, I have prayed and it ain't working out. That devil has defeated me again. But the word said, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Defeat's not what you desire, so don't pray it or say it. You can see how the wrong choice of words can even can cause even your prayers to work against you. You prayed it. Lord, I got this problem and it's getting worse. Now let's compare that with the word of God. First, you have prayed the problem and not the answer. The word said, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, you desire the answer. Second, you have released faith in the ability of the enemy. And to make it worse, you establish the words of the devil. That prayer doesn't work and things are getting worse because you're walking by sight, not by faith. You have denied the word of God. You have done it because of the lack of knowledge. God said in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, my people are destroyed or cut off for lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge has caused men to be destroyed and lives to suffer needless loss. Years ago, a man I was working with as an electrician, was walking in an electrical control room for a large electrical melting vat. And inadvertently, his hand brushed up against an electrical wire and was instantly electrocuted. Lack of knowledge didn't stop the electrical force. It continued to work. It was the same force that cooked his meal, heated his house, and washed his clothes. It was created to work for him to make life more enjoyable. And the very reason for its existence was to supply his need. But when we violate that law that controls that force, it'll destroy you. Spiritual law, folks, is for your good. It is to produce the things you need and desire. But speaking and praying contrary to the word of God or spiritual law will be just as disastrous as violating the law of electricity. We have all prayed in all manner of prayer that the Bible doesn't teach. We prayed to Jesus, and that's an unscriptural way to pray. Words are important. Begin now to become word conscious. Words are like little seeds that produce after their kind. Learn to pray according to the word of God. God's word will produce after his kind. Matthew 12:35 says this, the good man out of his good treasure brings forth good things, and the evil man out of his evil treasure brings forth evil things. Jesus said in John 16:23-24, and in that day you shall ask me no question. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if you shall ask anything of the Father, he will give it to you in my name. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be made full. You know, prayer is your legal right to use faith-filled words to bring God on the scene in your behalf or for another, that your joy may be full. Glory to God. And it's the word abiding in you that causes faith to be present in your words. John 15:7-8 says this, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatsoever you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. Notice, it glorifies the Father when you get your prayer answered and your needs met. Verse 11 says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. Your joy can be full if the word of Mark 11:24 abide in you. When you pray, believe. You know, faith will make prayer work. Prayer won't work without faith. Faith will work without prayer, though. Prayer is one of the means of releasing faith. So if we will line ourselves up with the word of God and release our faith when we pray, we're going to see the power of God come alive in our lives. God's word is just as powerful today as it was the day he spoke it. Not one bit of power has left God's word. God's creative power is still in his word, just as it was when he stood there in the beginning of time and said, "Light be," and light was. Listen, this is the thing I want you to see. You can speak God's words after him, and they will work for you, but they must be formed in your spirit. They have to become a part of you. They must abide in you continually. It says in Genesis 1, God created the heavens and earth. What did he use to create the heaven and the earth? Well, Hebrews 11:3 says it. By faith, we understand that the worlds have been framed by the word of God, so that what is seen hath not been made out of things which appear. The world was not made out of things you can see. You can't see spoken words, nor can you see faith with the physical eye. The words that God spoke out of his mouth framed this universe. It set it in motion, and it stands today in obedience to the words that God spoke. He said in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 6, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." And it came into being and divided the waters from the land, and it's still divided today. The universe is still obeying God's command, the words that God spoke, because God said it and let it stay said. He didn't back up and say, "Maybe it will," or "I hope so." No, he said it by the words of his mouth, and all hell stood up and took notice right then. Then God said, "Let there be light." It was the creative power that flowed out of God's mouth that turned the universe into light and caused every creation to come into being. We read in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Then God delegated the power to man to dominate the earth. He created Adam, and then he put that authority in Adam. He said, "Now, you dominate the earth, Adam." So we got Adam as the ruler of the earth now. But what happened? There came this snake in the garden. The snake said to Eve in Genesis 3, verses 4 and 5, "And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as God, knowing good and evil." Eve ate of the forbidden fruit. And I guess she talked Adam into it, because the word said in 1 Timothy 2 and 14, "And Adam was not beguiled, but the woman, being beguiled, has fallen into transgression." Well, Adam ate of the fruit and turned that power and authority over to the enemy. And then what happened? Satan became the god of this world. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4 says, "In whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." But Jesus Christ came and got that power back for us. Jesus, God's word, came and took flesh upon himself. You ever wondered how he did that? Theologians say it can't be done. They said a virgin can't bear a child. It's impossible. Well, we got the word of God. And that tells us in Luke 1:37, "For with God, nothing shall be impossible." Whatever God says, he's going to perform. And if you'll notice throughout the Bible, God never did do anything that he didn't say first. He said it, and then he did it. The power to do it was in the word. And the Bible tells us that in Hebrews 1 and 3, he is upholding all things by the word of his power. It didn't say by the power of his word. It said by the word of his power. The Holy Spirit put that in the exactness, the way he wanted, the word of his power. If he'd said the power of his word, that would have meant that there is some power in God's word, but not all power. In other words, that's where his power is. It's in the word, in what he says. Now, it's not impossible for God to perform his every declaration. He can declare and do exactly what he said he's going to do. And we find that God created man with the ability to operate in that same kind of faith. Control those words that come forth out of our mouth and bring them into obedience to the word of God, which is God's spiritual law. Man was created in the image of God and his likeness. There was creative power that flowed out of the mouth of God, and you were created in the image of God. And then, according to the scriptures and what Jesus said, you have the same ability dwelling or residing on the inside of you. Adam gave man's authority over to Satan. Jesus got that authority back. He was born of a virgin. The way he was born of a virgin was the way that God created the universe. God said, "It will be done." And it's not impossible for God to perform every declaration that he makes. When he found a woman who agreed with him, it could be done. Luke chapter 1 and verse 34 says, "And he had said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" She didn't doubt how it could be, that it could be done. She just asked how. And he said in Luke 1:35, "The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow thee." And in verse 38, Mary said, "Be it unto me according to thy word." She agreed with the word, establishing that fact upon the earth, and it came into being. Now, is it so unreasonable to believe that? God said in his word that we, in 1 Peter 1:23, having been begotten again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God which lives and abides. The word of God implanted into your spirit calls you to become a new creation that never existed before, born again of the spirit of the living God. The rebirth of the human spirit took place because the word of God lodged in your spirit. It caused you to act upon the word, and you were born again. You became a new creation. You were once a sinner, but now you're born again, the righteousness of God, fully able to stand in the presence of the Father in holy boldness and say, "Father, I come to you in the name of your Son Jesus without fear of condemnation, because I am the righteousness of God in Christ." Not a poor sinner crawling around in the dust, begging and pleading, "Dear Lord, help me please," as some songs say. No, we are the righteousness of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. That word planted in your spirit caused you to become a new creation because the word of God declared it. Now, I want you to see how God caused a virgin to conceive and bear a child. The virgin said, "Be it done unto me according to your word." And the Bible says, "And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us." John 1:14. Now the word was in the beginning with God. The word came unto Mary and said, "It will be so." Mary said, "I receive it. Be it done unto me according to your word." She first received the word into her spirit or her heart. Then it was manifested in her physical body. The word of God was implanted into her womb. It was the embryo, the seed. And it took upon itself flesh. Just as the living word of God placed in your spirit took upon itself new creation life, glory to God. The word of God literally formed within her womb and took flesh upon it. The word of God became alive, living, walking, and talking on this earth. He came here to destroy the works of the devil that was done in Adam. The work that was done in Adam was destroying the creation of God and the ability of God to work through man. When Jesus came, he got that authority back, and he delegated it back to man to the believer. Jesus stood on the mount before he ascended and said in Matthew 28:19, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. He had it all, folks. Then he turned to the believers and said in Mark 16:17-18, and these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And what Jesus was saying is, now you go in my name, you cast out demons, you speak with new tongues, you lay hands on the sick, guess what? They're going to recover. Now you see God's power, God's authority delegated back to man. So man is not restored to his original state, which he was. He is in better shape than he has ever been. And we thank God for that. The born again man is a joint heir with Jesus, glory to God. If Jesus is the righteousness of God, then you are the righteousness of God in Christ. And we need to quit praying and say, Lord, I'm unworthy. Thank God, if Jesus is not unworthy, you're not unworthy. You have a right to stand in the throne room of God. You know, we've been beaten down and the devil has trampled all over us in the dust because of a sense of unworthiness. And when this word gets in your spirit, you'll never be the same again. So lay hold on this word. Rise up and enter into it. The enemy knows there's power in your words. And that's why he tries so desperately to get you to confess doubt, fear, and unbelief. You see, confessing that you are unworthy after being born again, that's contrary to the word God. You were unworthy, but that old man died with Christ. You're now a new creation in Christ. Anyone in Christ cannot be unworthy. The word says in 2 Corinthians 5:17-21, wherefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, they are become new. But all things are of God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave unto us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not reckoning unto them their trespasses, and having committed unto us the word of reconciliation. We are ambassadors, therefore, on behalf of Christ, as though God were entreating by us. We beseech you on behalf of Christ, be ye reconciled to God. Him who knew no sin, he made to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Glory be to God. You know, now let's see what Jesus had to say about faith-filled words. And I want you to see how he used his words and how they produced for him. In Mark 11:11-14, it says this, and he entered into Jerusalem, into the temple, and when he had looked round about upon all things, it being now eventide, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. And on the morrow, when they were come out from Bethany, he hungered. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season of figs. And he answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit from thee henceforth forever. And his disciples heard it. Now, Jesus had gone to the fig tree to get some figs and found none. And he said, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. He just walked off. And when they came back that way, the same way the next day, verse 21 says, the disciples called Jesus' attention to the fig tree. They said, and I'm going to paraphrase it, the leaves are withered. That thing died from the roots. Did you notice that, Jesus? That's the tree you cursed. And I always wondered why Jesus cursed that fig tree. But you see, the word curse means that Jesus spoke negativism to it. And I want you to notice the words that the Bible uses. He said he put a curse on the fig tree. Now, we as believers have put curses on people by the words of our mouth. I've heard people do it. Someone might come and get saved, and they would say, oh, I know them. They get saved every time there's a revival in town. You just watch. They'll go away in 3 weeks. They'll be right back in sin. Sure enough, they were back in sin. They thought that they had a prophetic utterance, but it wasn't. It was a curse. And they said, say I told you so. They were part of the problem. The words of their mouth worked against that person. Instead of putting faith-filled words there by saying God's power is enough to keep them, God's power is enough to hold them, God's power will deliver them, and they are not going to fall. I believe they'll stand, glory to God. But they have been deceived by the evil one to tear down what God was trying to build by the words of their own mouth. That's the God kind of faith, is when you speak it and say it and keep it going. Then I want you to notice that Jesus knew there was power in his words. When he spoke to the fig tree, it withered and died. Now notice in verse 22, he said, have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith. Then in verse 23, Jesus stopped long enough to tell his disciples how the God kind of faith works. You and I need to know how it works. If you have faith in your heart, it is the God kind of faith. The Bible says in Romans 12 and 3, God hath dealt to each man the measure of faith. And it's the God kind of faith. He didn't say a measure. He said the measure. And it's the same measure everybody got when they were born again. But the problem is, some haven't developed it. The word tells you how to develop your faith. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. Hearing what God said was going to build your faith inside you, because he's able to perform his every declaration. Now, Jesus tells you how to apply the God kind of faith and get it to work. And you probably tried it in all kinds of ways. You tried it by bombarding the gates of heaven, by just praying it over and over and over, and you found that didn't work. Well, let's see something that does work. Let's act on it. Here's what Jesus said in Mark 11:23. Verily I say unto you, whosoever, who is that? That's everybody. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou taken up and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that what he saith comes to pass, he shall have it. He didn't say just the things you say to the mountain. He said that what he saith. That's everything you say. You have to watch what you say. You have to believe that those things that you say, everything you say, is going to come to pass. And that will activate the God kind of faith within you. And those things which you say will come to pass. He shall have. He didn't say he had it then, did he? He said he shall have whatsoever he saith. In other words, it shows he's continually saying that. The Bible says, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope, that it waver not. For he is faithful that promised. It didn't say hold fast to your prayer. When you hold fast to the prayer, you're holding fast to your problem, because most of the time you prayed the problem. Turn loose of the problem and get a hold of your confession. Quit praying the problem. Start saying the answer. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed. And when you prayed and said, Lord, the mountain's getting bigger. It ain't getting any better. I prayed, it ain't working out. What you were doing, you're holding on to the problem. You haven't got to the answer. You're not there yet. You are still too involved with the problem. The answer is in the confession. The answer is in believing and confessing what the Word says. The Word said it's going to be removed and cast into the sea. And we should continually affirm and confess this. I thank God, though it looks like the mountain's getting bigger, in the name of Jesus, I see it removed by the eye of faith. By the eye of faith, I see it removed. There is creative power within you. Learn to use it wisely. And when you continually affirm and confess, I thank God, though it looks like the mountain or the problem getting bigger, it's not. In the name of Jesus, I see it removed by the eye of faith. And somebody right there close to you might say, only a nut will say that. If the mountain's still there, if the trouble's there, you know it's there, you can't deny its existence. I don't deny the existence of the mountain. I deny the right of it to exist in my way. It's not in my way because it's removed. Just like the word said it was. It's gone. The word says, my righteous one shall live by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight, 2 Corinthians 5:7. But a lot of Christians are walking by sight and not by faith. That's what a lot of Christian people are doing. It's, and they're, you know, you can hear them now. Whoa, it's still there. It's still there. You have established it. But if you will confess that it's been removed, praise God, when you get there, it's going to be gone. You know, if you drive your car the way you've been driving your spiritual life, how many of us would have wrecked that thing a dozen times? Well, you can see that. You don't pay attention to the car out there 3 blocks up the road because that computer in your head is telling you, well, he's going 30 miles an hour in 2 more seconds, he'll be on the other side of the road. There ain't no danger. I'll just keep on going. And you sit there and you see that car and you never flinch. You never go for the brakes. You just drive along perfectly at ease. Why? Because you have faith in what that guy's doing. You are actually meaning something you are not seeing. You are believing the end results. Driving your car successfully is based on split-second timing. Now, he may decide to just throw his brakes right there and stop. Then you'd want to know what was wrong with him. Apply that when the storms of life come against you. And the devil said, look here. You'll never be able to get over that. All you got to do is just ignore him and say, thank God I believe the word. It's not going to be there when I get there, glory to God. That kind of faith will move mountains. You might get to the foot of the mountain sometimes before it moves. It'll either move or there's going to be a great big hole show up in it. But if you go to mealy mouthing around, say, I believe in this getting slower. I don't believe it's going to leave. You're in trouble. Jesus said, say to the mountain, be removed and cast into the sea. And say what you want done with it. Don't go to God and pray, dear God, it's getting worse. He said that you can have what you say. And you said, it's getting worse. That ought to tell you something right there. Jesus said the God kind of faith works by the words of your mouth. There is no release of the God kind of faith without the words of the mouth. It's released by the words of your mouth. In Luke 17:5-6, the disciples came to Jesus and said, Lord, increase our faith. Give us more faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you would say unto this sycamine tree, be thou rooted up and be thou planted in the sea, and it would obey you. They were standing right there by that tree. It probably wasn't close to a mountain. He said, that tree should obey you. He didn't say a word about increasing your faith. In other words, he said, you got to learn to use what you have. He said, the way you use it is to start saying some things in faith. Plant that seed. Many people have desired healing. They want a harvest of healing and a harvest of physical needs met. But they've never planted a seed. The law of Genesis says everything produces after its kind. You know, as most of you know, I was a farmer back in Arkansas. And I could be the best farmer in the state of Arkansas. And I could sit in my house and say, praise God, I believe in farming. My grandfather believed in farming. My dad believed in farming. My brother believes in farming. Everybody ought to have a farm. And I could have 10 tons of seed on my truck waiting to be planted. But if I just sit there and praise God because I believe in farming and never act on what I know to plant the seed, I'll never harvest anything. And that's what a lot of Christians are doing. They're saying, I believe the Lord is able. Yes, brother, I believe he's able to heal me. Well, the devil knows that the Lord is able. That's no profound statement. The thing that you have to determine is, will he? The word says he will. Then you have to start agreeing with that. The word is what works. It's not our prayer that works. It's the word and faith that works. Prayer won't make faith work. We thought if we just pray long enough, it'd soon work out. No, it won't. We need to get this straightened out. Faith will make prayer work, but prayer won't make faith work. Faith will work without prayer. Prayer won't work without faith. Now, we have determined from the Word of God that you can have what you say. And not many people do because they have never controlled their words. Jesus said it. I didn't say it. I'm just telling you what he said. Now, I'm not smart enough to believe that Jesus knew what he was talking about. Jesus has made a profound statement that you can have what you say. Let's read 2 Peter 1 and 2. Grace to you and peace be multiplied in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So how is grace and peace going to be multiplied to you? That's through the knowledge of God and Jesus, our Lord and Savior. What is some of the knowledge of God? How his faith works. Well, how does God's faith work? Well, if you find how his faith works, you'll know how your faith is going to work. God never did anything without saying it first. And you hardly do either. You say, I'm going uptown. I'm going to go to work. I'm going to do this. Or I'm going to do that. You always say it before you do it. You're programmed to operate that way. So, if you don't say some things in faith concerning some of the things you believe, you're not ever going to operate in faith in those areas. The word says in 2 Corinthians 4 and 13, but having the same spirit of faith according to that which is written, I believed, therefore did I speak. We also believe, and therefore also we speak. And then it says in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, seeing that his divine power has granted unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us by his own glory and virtue. His divine power has given unto us all things. All things. Well, how's that? Through the knowledge of God. He's saying that if you get the knowledge of God, then you have the understanding of God, the wisdom of God, and the wisdom of God is the Word of God. Then he said that he has given to you by his divine ability all things that pertain to life and godliness. Now, if healing doesn't pertain to life, what does? Finances also pertain to life. Paul said in Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So having abundant supplies to life and godliness, you ought to have abundance in the name of Jesus. The word says you can. And if you act on the word of faith, if you begin to do it right now, it'll happen. It ain't going to happen overnight. I want you to learn that right now. It won't happen overnight. It won't happen just because you say it one or two times. It's going to happen because you continually affirm what God's word says until it gets into your spirit and becomes a part of you. It says in James chapter 1, verses 21, receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. He said the word of God and grafted into your spirit will save your soul. The word of God engrafted in your spirit will deliver you from every circumstance of life. If you have the word for it, get it into your spirit. It will deliver you if you will continue to believe and affirm that. I don't care how big the mountain looks. You should not be moved by what you see. You should only be motivated by what you believe, because the word is our final authority. Partakers of the divine nature of God. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4 it says, whereby he hath granted unto us his precious and exceeding great promises, that through these you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world by lust. What nature? That's the divine nature of God. He said, you are partakers of God's nature. Praise the Lord forevermore. Partakers of God's nature. What kind of nature does God have? Righteousness. Righteousness. Not unworthy nature. God doesn't have that. He is righteousness. He said, you're partakers of the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Him who knew no sin, he made to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The very nature of God should dominate our spirit when we're born again. Now, it didn't say it automatically dominates your body. That's where a lot of folks have it all squirreled up. When they were born again, they thought their body got saved. They thought their head got saved. Later, they wanted to do some things that were wrong after they were born again. The devil said, if you were saved, you wouldn't want to do that. You must not have received anything. You must not have been saved, or you wouldn't have thought these bad thoughts. Well, I got news for you. Your head didn't get saved. Your body didn't get saved. Your spirit was born again. You were created the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus with God on the inside. Now, he must permeate outward from your spirit into your soul or your flesh. And the spirit man must bring the body into subjection to the spirit. You have to mortify some deeds of your body as you study and read and do the word of God. When you read or hear God's word, your soul and your flesh has to be disciplined to the word of God. Your body does not always want to do the things your spirit would do. Galatians 5 and 17, for the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, that you may not do the things that you would. Sometimes your body will say, oh, no, I'd rather not today. And the spirit man on the inside of you will say, get up, body, you're going. Either your spirit or your body is going to dominate you. And when you're born again, your spirit is supposed to dominate the body. You notice I said supposed to. Sometimes your spirit doesn't dominate because you fail to act on what you know. The word said in 2 Peter 1 and 4, you may be partakers of the divine nature of God. If you are partakers of the divine nature of God, and God spoke and caused creation into being, what do you think is going to happen when you start saying some things in faith? Jesus said you can have whatsoever you say, if you doubt not and believe in your heart the things you are speaking. That's the criteria that it takes for us. In the book of James, chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, it says this, and I'm going to read 1 through 6. Be not many of you teachers, my brethren, knowing that we shall receive heavier judgment. For in many things we all stumble. If any man stumbles not in word, the same is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body also. Now if we put the horses' bridles into their mouths, that they may obey us, we turn about their whole body also. James 3 and 4, behold, the ships also, though they are so great, and are driven by rough winds, are yet turned about by a very small rudder, whether the impulse of the steersman willeth. So the tongue also is a little member, and boasts great things. Behold, how much wood is kindled by how small a fire. And the tongue is a fire. The world of iniquity among our members is the tongue, which defiles the whole body, and sets on fire the will of nature, and is set on fire by hell. You can understand that. We have stumbled with our words. He said that the thing that is in the horse's mouth causes that whole horse to turn in any direction. Let me tell you in my words what he said. He said you can put a bit in a horse's mouth and turn his whole body. He said a great big ship weighing hundreds of thousands of tons is turned to any direction by just a very small rudder on the back of it, wherever the captain decides to turn it. He goes on and says the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue. So put among our members that it can defile the whole body. And it sets on fire the course of nature. That means if you have inherited good health from your parents, if your grandfather was healthy, if good health just generally runs in your family, then more than likely you're going to be healthy. Now, the word says that the tongue can stop those natural forces. The tongue can destroy the very course of nature that causes you to be healthy. And if you begin to say, I believe I'm coming down with something, guess what? You probably will. I believe I'm taking a cold on. You're going to get it. It says the tongue will set on fire the course of nature. It will destroy the life-giving flow in you that God put in you to heal you and make you whole. Everyone has natural healing power within their body. If you cut your finger, you don't have to be concerned about it. It knows how to heal itself. That healing power is in you. If you go to talking sickness and disease and defeat, you have released words that's going to produce after their kind. You could stop the natural healing power that God put in you by the words in your mouth. Many have stopped divine healing the same way, by negative words. Verses 7 and 8. Every kind of beast and of birds and serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. He said no man can tame it. But thank God the Holy Spirit can. Glory be to God. The Holy Spirit works on man from the inside out. Then from what James said, what you say can cause sickness and disease or it can stop it. You can drive sickness and disease out of your body with the words of your mouth. Listen, I don't deny the existence of disease. What I do, I deny the right of that disease to exist in this body because I am the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12 and 27, now ye are the body of Christ and severally members thereof. Well, folks, I'm out of time. God bless you. Hopefully we can do this again next time.